Well, maayong buntag sa tanan. Good morning, everyone. That first session was very challenging to me. I share that same heartbeat, and I believe, you know, the lesson that God has put in my heart, it will go right along with that. And so as we prepare for it, I have an obligation to fulfill, because I started Wednesday night on the top 10 reasons why you know you're in the Philippines. Okay? And so I've been reminded that I need to finish those top 10 reasons of why you're in the Philippines. And so I'm going to be finishing those. If you weren't there in our class Wednesday night, I will give a little refreshing. Okay? So I will just run first. I went through the first four, and I'm going to run through those quickly. And I hope you'll pay attention. And I've already seen some people putting these things into practice. They're really learning the Cebuano culture. And so I'm excited about that. And I'm praying that maybe God will call someone to come and work with us. Okay? So they're already learning that culture. So number one, you know you're in the Philippines because everyone there, when they talk, they raise their eyebrows like this. Okay? All right? So if you see me doing this, it's because I'm used to doing that. All right? So if you say, hey, you know, you don't walk up and say and shake your hand and say, how you doing? Go, how you doing? Hi. All right? So it was interesting. You know, we were in Seattle a couple of days ago, and I was at the Starbucks, and I talked to the barista, and I said, hey, how you doing? And she's kind of looking at me like, okay, like, what's wrong with him? And I said, I'm sorry, I'm from the Philippines. And that's how we say hello, all right? So if you see me doing this, even during the message, I'm used, like, I have that, the eyebrow action going, okay? Number two, you know you're in the Philippines because when you ask for directions for someone, not only do they raise their eyebrows, they don't point with their finger. So they would not say, where's the back door? They would not point with their finger. They would point with their lips. So there's three different directions. There's three words for directions in the Philippines. It's diri, which is here, diha, which is there, and dito, which is out there. So here's the three ways to point. Like that, which is near, farther, like that, and very far, like that, okay? So, while you're raising your eyebrows, all right? It's communications, you know? I kept my eyes wide open when I was in the Philippines. I'm trying to see this. All right, quickly. Number three, you know you're in the Philippines when you are driving down the road and a police officer pulls you over and they ask you for your license. And you say, officer, why do I need to give you my license? Oh, nothing. And so you just give it to them and you say, officer, what did I do? Oh, nothing. And we say, well, can I have my license back? I'm very hungry. And if you buy me some lunch, you'll get your license back. So you have a lunch appointment in your schedule now. You know you're in the Philippines, okay? Number four, it's okay. It's good. All right. You know, missions is always local, right? So you know, I'm getting to know the local authorities, okay? Number four, you know you're in the Philippines when I love coffee. When you go to a restaurant and they like pictures. They download pictures from the internet. And so they place pictures on the menus that sometimes they don't have any intention of really serving the item. It just looks good. So my wife, she ordered cheese fries from this restaurant, and it came out with powdered cheese from a macaroni and cheese box sprinkled on there. And I asked for coffee at this restaurant, and they said, oh, sir, we don't serve coffee. And it's kind of like Dunkin' Donuts, like, you know, they're known for coffee. And I said, have you ever had any intention of serving coffee here? And they said, oh, it's just a picture downloaded from the internet. So you know you're in the Philippines that way. All right, number five, you know you're in the Philippines when a motorcycle with either eight people on it or three live pigs passes you going down the road. Okay. All right. It's interesting. All right. They're flying. Okay. There's no helmet laws. You know you're in the Philippines. This might really more refer to people in the South, but you know you're in the Philippines. There's not a bottle of tanning lotion on the entire island. They have what's called whitening cream. So when they scrub themselves with soap, It has whitening cream on it. And they say, oh, we want to look like you. And I say, God gives given you beautiful skin. You know, some of the most beautiful people in the world. And they said, but we want to be like you. And they touched Dixie Mae and Annabelle. We want to be white. And I said, we want to be like you. We pay a lot of money to have skin like you. Or we go on vacation to go with skin like you. So they walk around with umbrellas. Not when it rains, when it's sunny. Because they don't want to be dark. All right. Quickly, number seven. You know you're in the Philippines. All right. You have to watch and pay attention because everyone calls you either Brad. Hey, Brad. How you doing, Brad? Brad. You might notice when I'm talking on the phone. Brad. Or they say, hey, Joe, for G.I. Joe. Or they'll say Americano for anyone that's white. And my friends that are from Germany and from France and in Cebu, they get angry. I'm not an American. And I say, and they say, hey, Americano, Joe. And he goes, I'm not American. And I said, just relax. They just, you're white, okay? So that's what it is, all right? Number eight, I'm going quickly. You know you're in the Philippines, the most beautiful, elaborate building, which, by the way, most people don't have anything but a cardboard box to live in, but the government has given funds for the most beautiful, elaborate building is made for something that's against the law. It's for cockfighting. It's for fighting chickens. And it's this beautiful building. Everyone's sleeping on the streets around them, but they'll fight chickens, and it's illegal, but the government sponsors it, and you know, you're in the Philippines. That's just the way it is. There's laws, but there's suggestions. They're not called laws, okay? Number nine, you know you're in the Philippines. For example, I wanted my children, I went to go find a video for them. I went to go Finding Nemo. I wanted them to watch that. And so I went in and I went to the store and they have a law there, they have a copyright law. We have copyright laws here in the U.S. But in the Philippines, their copyright law, they explained it to me. And so this is part of me understanding culture. They said, we have the right to copy. Okay? We have the right to copy. So whatever you want, whatever kind of computer program, you know, you can get it there. You can get it for $1, $2. You know, they just have it. All right, you have the right to copy. So I asked for a copy of this video, and I said, is it an original? You know, because I didn't want it like, you know, filmed from someone's television set. And I said, is it an original? She goes, oh, yes, sir, original copy. I said, what? She goes, yes, original copy. You know, she said it really fast. I said, original copy? I said, what does that mean? She goes, yeah, the original was playing there and we just videotaped it. Okay? That's the way it is in the Philippines. Number 10. Number 10, then we'll get into, you know, what we're going to, God's has us to talk about, all right? This is kind of more serious, but you know you're in the Philippines, and this is why I love being in the Philippines, because wherever you go, people chase you down the streets for Bible tracts. I'll have Bible tracts in my pockets, and my children will, and they'll chase us. They'll get angry if they don't get another one. And Landon, he loves it. He loves handing them out. And he'll get mad if we run out of Bible tracts and say, Daddy, that man didn't get one. And we're used to going in the mountains, and there's people everywhere, and we hand out Bible tracts, and they'll chase our car down the street for Bibles. Please give us the Bible. We want to see the Bible. Please give us the Bible. And so that is the final reason that you know you're in the Philippines. Because, you know, you go to bed at night and you just say, wow, God, thank you for allowing me to be here. With all those other things that are challenging and run through your mind, I thank you, God, that you opened my eyes to the needs of the people around me. So those are a few things of how you know you're in the Philippines. I have more. We don't have time to actually have 101 reasons why you know you're in the Philippines. So if you'd like to ask me about them, I'll talk for a long time. So ask me about it afterwards. Are you still awake this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. The subject this morning is eyes wide open to unintended targets. And it really blends in with the missions is always local. And it's something that is very close to my heart. And so I'll share a few testimonies maybe this concept in action as we're speaking about it. As we think about unintended targets, most of us, when we think of missions, we think We think of like that one country that we heard a lot about, right? Or we think of what that one person said he was going to do, and you know, and when we look at missionaries, we want to make sure that they have a good plan and that they have a goal and they're planning on doing something. But can I tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit changes things and shows you more than you intended on doing. And I'm so thankful for that, because I'm thankful that God takes my vision and it just, you know, expands it. And I think so many times we limit what God can do because we don't think of ourselves like you're like someone in the scripture. You know, like what if someone was going to be reading about your life and they were going to be talking about philosophy of missions later on, and they're reading, Brother Chalk did this. You know, and God recorded that, and God through the Holy Spirit inspired them to write that. We just think, God can't do those things with us today. Like God cannot inspire someone to write a hymn today. Well, we sang one earlier, right? God can still do amazing things. And you know, so many people say, you know, especially with my children, you know, they will talk, and I will talk about all the dreams that I have, and tell them that I want to take them to other nations. And when we go back, they're learning Cebuano, but I want them to learn Korean, and eventually, there's a lot of Chinese living around in our area. I'd like them to learn Mandarin. They say, isn't that expecting too much for our children? They said, just let them play and let them have fun, and I say, well, why? God has commanded me as a father to teach them and prepare them. And, you know, God can, you know, in the Philippines and everywhere we go, can I tell you, God uses my children so much more than he uses me? Yeah. I thought, I'm the preacher and I'm here and I'm ready. And let me go find all the people I can round up and preach to. And I'll go to these places in the mountains where people have never heard the gospel before. By the way, there's a lot of children there, and children is my passion. And I know you saw a lot in the video about children. But, you know, God uses my children to touch the mothers and the fathers and the lolos, which are the grandmothers and people there. And, you know, they'll just gather around 200-300 people because they're amazed by my children's red hair. And they'll say, how did that happen? Who gave, you know, how did that, like, they said, is that real? And Annabelle says, hello, I'm Annabelle, and this is not a wig. All right, she says that. And they'll say, you know, that's her line now. She's funny, all right? And people will say, how did you get that? I mean, did you dye that? And she'll say, God gave that to me. Amen. And she'll say, do you know about him? God gave me my hair. And I believe that God gave that to them because he knew we were going to be in the Philippines and people would be in amazement. And that, you know, God would humble Michael Wanzer and show me that if I just, you know, if I ask him to show me what he wants to do, and if I ask him to give me a vision for the people around me, not just my pre-planned things, then he'll do amazing things. And that's what he wants to do with us today. So as we're thinking about these different targets, you know, if we think about the Apostle Paul as he's he's on his missionary journey and he's traveling, and man, he had this desire to go to Asia, and then the Holy Spirit changed, and then he was going to Bithynia, and then God said go a little bit farther north. Well, when I first heard about missions and your pastor was there, I thought, God wants me to go to Australia. And why? Because I had citizenship to Australia. And I just thought, well, God can use a citizenship because there's missionaries that can't get in there right now. And then I thought, okay, so I'm going to go there. And so I didn't even question it. I didn't really think about it. I didn't even ask God what he thought about my plans. And then I was in Bible college and I thought, whoo. When I go on deputation, pastors, they were like this. You know, I could say, man, I was, you know, I even had my great-great-grandfather who stole a watch in England, and he went to Australia. And so I'm like, oh, I could do prison ministry, and I got a good story, all right? That is really what happened. He was there. And I'm like, I could sell it, all right? You know, and I thought, I have the citizenship, and I have all these things. And then I really wanted to. And then when it came time to do it, you know, we were praying, and God said, not right now. I don't want you to. And I said, why? I said, why? I said, this was my intention, God. This is why I believe you, I was born, I wanted to go live in the Aboriginal tribes and just live like they did and do all those things. And I said, God, this is what I want to do. And God said, I have to teach you some things. First, I want you to go to the Philippines right now. And then so, just as Paul did, I had to redirect my path. And I was able to see, I know for a fact now that that's where God wants me to be right now. I'd love to be in Australia one day. I'd love to go there. And maybe one day God will allow me. But for right now, God has changed my focus. And that target that I had before of going to Australia, He's changed it. And He's brought me to the Philippines. And you know why? Because He's taught me the value of a penny. He's taught me to manage my money more wisely. God has taught me to have a heart for people that I never would have had before. God has taught me that I don't need all the things that I thought I had to have before. God has taught me to slow down. And when I'm talking with people, look at, who they are and try to see them as Jesus Christ sees them. So as we do this lesson, that's what it's about. Hey, eyes wide open for unintended targets. I want you to think about this in reality. What are the things, either the people that God has placed you around, and what are you filling your life with that maybe God could, if you really just slow down and if you pray for God to give you guidance, He could show you something He could do in your life in a greater capacity. You know? It might be beyond your training. It might be something you have to get a little bit uncomfortable doing. So, I want to look in Luke chapter 18, and we'll look there, and then we'll look to another passage. But, this is a passage, actually. I shared a few of these verses when I came a couple of years ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But Luke chapter 18, what we're looking at is, Jesus was coming into the city of Jericho. And the people there was a lot of people around him, and all the people around him, they were kind of preparing the way preparing the way for Christ to come in there. And and then Christ shows them really why he was coming through there. And he shows them, hey, this is how I view the world. This is how I view the people around me. So take on my vision. Don't just have your single, like your tunnel vision. So God says in Luke 18:35, it's a familiar passage. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And pay attention, verse 39, they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And this is what happens, verse 40. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I'm not going to spend a long time elaborating, but the situation was that Christ was going through Jericho. Yes. And the people were following. And he was heading there, and he had a direction that he was going. And along the way, there was a man that was blind that was... He was in those days, people viewed that person, their first thought was, what sin did he commit? What sin did his father commit? We were talking about that yesterday. And their mind wasn't thinking, ooh, this would be a good person for us to bring to Christ. This is someone that hey, it's going to take a little time. It's going to be hard to stop all these masses of people. But, they weren't thinking, let's just stop it because this man needs Christ. This is what they were thinking. They were thinking, oh, we have to get through Jericho. So let's prepare the way. And this person, he's a distraction on the way to our mission, which is helping prepare the way for Christ to come through Jericho. And so in our lives, sometimes we do those things and we have this mission. Like, we think, I'm going to plant a church, right? And my goal is, hey, this this place really needs a church. So all of the strategies are about that one focal thing about having everything set up and all that. And then we forget is, hey, there has to be people there. Okay, we would by every means necessary find people and find out how they think we can bridge the gap to share Christ with them. Then as there's an overwhelming amount of people that are there, then it's time, well, hey, there's a time for a church now. Okay? But we sometimes think, and we have our thought, and we're ambitious, and we're like, I'm going to get it done. But we don't do it God's way all the time, because it's in our knowledge, it's in our background. So that's what's happening here. These people are coming through, and I love it because Christ stops and he says, "Oh, you believe the target is Jericho. You believe it's because we're going to this place, and then you know they'll be meeting with Zacchaeus later." And so these people, you know, he showed them that the target was this man right here.
Amen.
The target was the blind man that was placed in front of us.
Yes.
All right. And I believe that because I was a target like that. I was the one who walked into a church and I told you before, I had my green mohawk and Marilyn Manson shirt, and I'd grown up in foster homes, and I was born, my parents lived in a Volkswagen van, and we were hippies. Okay. They didn't teach me the scripture every night. They sold marijuana. All right. And they sold tie-dye t-shirts. So I was just like that blind man. People looking at me like, "Who? You know, what sins have he committed? You know, and this is going to be a rough case, you know." And so I was one of those unintended targets. You know, not. Well, this guy has a good Bible background. His parents are solid. I would like for this young man to marry one of my children. I was a mess. And it was going to take a lot of work to do. And I wasn't a target. We're like, hey, this would be a good addition to our church family. All right? I wasn't like that. So I laugh. You know, I say the preacher wasn't thinking this guy's going to set the pulpit on fire with his fiery preaching. He might set our church on fire. Why is he here? Okay? What's he doing? What's his motive? Because I had my mohawk and my Manson shirt and my skateboard, and I put it on the side and I shook the preacher's hand and said, "How you doing?" I just wanted to come. And so I'm glad that there was someone who stopped and realized that the mission was, Mike Wanzer was a punk kid. I was messed up. But Jesus Christ could change my life.
Amen.
And it was going to take some work, all right? And it was going to take a lot of work. And it was going to take some patience. And it was going to take teaching me a whole new way of thinking in Christ. And I was an unintended target. But I'm glad that someone did that. Because of that, then God allows me to go to, not to Australia, but go to the Philippines and do that same thing over there.
Amen.
It's by His grace.
Glory to God.
So I went to the Philippines to reach these prisoners, okay? And I went there and I wanted to go help the people there. And I had my mission, all right? Remember, I shared it with you. I had my mission. And then I was there, and we were able to appoint leaders that are in every one of those jails there, and there's people from a local church that's discipling the people, and they're baptizing them, and they're becoming members of the churches when they get out. And then I'm thinking, I slowed down, and I said, "God, why are these people here?" See, God was showing me an unintended target. My target was those people that were there. And then God says, "There's more to this than you know."
Yes.
Michael Wanzer.
Amen.
And then he brought me back, and he says, "Do you remember that time when you come into church? And do you remember that time when, you know, you met Pastor Houston and you were wondering, can God use me?" And then you got excited, and he says, "Do you remember that time? Well, I want you to have that same vision while you're here." So I said, "Okay." And while we were there, God showed me these different kinds of people, and He showed me unintended targets. He showed me mountainous villages that we got to go to. The people in the city, they call them tagabukin, which means they call them hillbillies, rednecks. You know, they're not affluent, so they don't. They really have like a really, they're biased against the people, you know, and they don't want to go up there, and so we just went up there. And when I went up there, you know, it was just different. It was a little uncomfortable, but we saw people that were greatly desiring the Word of God. Greatly desiring. We had the plan ahead. There's no stores. There's no 7-Elevens. There's no McDonald's up there. And we would just plan ahead. But God showed us things as we were doing that. And it was something totally different than we had intended on doing. And so we were doing those things. We met 250,000 Koreans in our city. And man, God has burdened me for those people. You know, I want our family to learn some of their language so we can start communicating with them. And it's going to take work. Yeah, it's going to take work. Is God able to do it? Yes, He can. All right. Is, you know, God is worthy of that work. Amen. You know, there's plenty of things that we can fill our time with, but that's what God's told me to do. So that is kind of like the reasoning, like the basis behind it. And so I wanted to bring it down to our level. And, you know, let's think about this. How can we keep our eyes wide open for unintended targets? How? Practically, you know, you say you're a missionary and, you're called by God and you're over there and you're doing that. And that's your job. That's what you live for. Well, that's the job of every one of us. Yeah. All right. That's what the whole conference is about. That's what Missions as Local is about. See, before I went there, I was serving in my local church. And the first person that God allowed me to share the gospel with and I brought to church was an unintended target. His name is Raymond. And we were in the bowling alley and my brother and I were bowling over in Gresham. And this man, he's very tall and he has a kind of an appearance of like not being disrespectful. Do you know like in the movie The Hunchback of Notre Dame? All right, this man looked like that. So he was someone that most people wouldn't talk to. And my brother was making fun of him, and somehow the Spirit of God stirred in my heart. And I went and talked to him, and his name is Raymond. And I said, Raymond, I said, how often do you come here? And he said, oh, every week. I said, do anyone ever invite you to church? No. And, you know, I asked, well, why don't you come to church? And he goes, I don't have a way to get there. I said, what if we could come pick you up? He goes, yeah. I love that. And then I shared the gospel with him, you know, and he received Christ. And then he came to church. And do you know that was in 1997? Have you met him before?
Sits on the front row.
He is the most faithful man there.
Amen.
But why is he there? Not because I have any strength or power, all right? But because we were in the bowling alley and I talked to him. Right? And he wasn't, you know, someone that you would be comfortable to talk to. But can I tell you, he never misses a service. Yeah. And when I come there, he puts his arm, he goes, whoa, you blow a mic. He talks like, he goes, and he'll sing a song, he goes, yes, Jesus, wash me. Yes, Jesus, wash me. I love it. He'll put his arm, he says, I love you. I'm praying for you. And I think, whoa. God, thank you so much that you spoke to my heart that day. And even though it was uncomfortable, and even though it was going to take some time and it was going to take some work, and God, I thank you so much because he's the most encouraging person to me in the world. And he's encouraging to the pastor there. He's encouraging to the people there. And there are people here in Bremerton. There are people that God has surrounded us with. And there will be people as you serve. There will be people as God scatters us abroad that are going to be uncomfortable. They're going to take time. But oh, praise God when those people get changed. Amen? Because God might bring those people to be our very best friends.
Yes.
So let's look in Acts chapter 3. And this is kind of the thrust of this thought. Acts chapter 3. So this is really, we've seen, why should we have our eyes open? Now, how do we do it? Amen? How do we keep our eyes open for these unintended targets? In Acts chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He expected to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And what happened? All the people saw him walking and praised God. And they knew that it was he which sat for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Okay, who are the people that God has put around us that if we would stop and if we would ask God to give us a vision for those people, you know, who are those people that when they receive Christ, everyone would just stand in amazement? Bye. I was Michael Wanzer. When people see me, they say, "It doesn't make sense. He's not a good guy, but he has a great God." Amen? And so how do we keep our eyes open? Well, before we talk about strategies, before we start talking about that, God needs us to surrender our lives to him. You know? And, you know, as we think about that verse, Romans 12:1, you know, God's saying that, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, to present your, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice." All right? That's not just like I came to the altar one time and then I said, "God, whatever you want me to do." It's a daily thing that we have to do. You know, we have to wake up and can I tell you a principle that God taught me? And I guess because no one had instructed me how it should be done, I just decided God told me that every morning you should pray. Right? And God told me that every member of my body I should ask the Holy Spirit to control. And he just told me that in my heart because I'm a wicked man. You know, I'm a sinful man. Without Christ, I will make mistakes. You know, I will sin. And without Christ, I know nothing that is right. So every morning, I surrender my everything I have to him. And I always teach children as we're working with children. And, you know, and it works for, adults is that we have to keep our eyes open. But we have to, I prayed that I could see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And so it's kind of funny, but for the children, every time I teach them, I say, "Do you have your eagle eyes on?" You know, I kind of go like this and they say, "Oh, you know," and then I teach them a little bit about the perception of eagles. But really, what I pray, and I'll tell you the exact prayer, whether I'm taking a shower, whether I'm waking up in the morning, I say, "Holy Spirit," I start with my mind. I say, "Control my mind. God, help me to think about the thoughts that you want me to have, a praise towards you." And as those thoughts are flowing out, "God, help me to think about the people that are around me." Yes. And then I say, "Holy Spirit, control my eyes. Lord, I don't want to see the world through my busy schedule, through my tunnel vision. I don't want to see the people around me as obstacles in the way of the mission that I have to go to. But I want to see them as you see them, as they really are. Lord, show me in their eyes how they're hurting. Lord, show me the brokenness that is inside them. Show me how you could use my life to be an encouragement, how you could use my life to bring them to you." I pray that. And then I say, "Holy Spirit, control my ears." And my daughter Annabelle taught me this. She goes, every night she goes, "Daddy, do you have your ears open?" And I said, "For what?" She goes, "The trumpet of the Lord might sound at any time." She goes, "Do you have your ears open?" And so then, you know, I start, and I won't go through all of them, but I go through every part of my physical body. And Lord, take my feet and take my hands. Help me to work hard for you. And can I tell you that every day when I do that, God teaches me so much. Yes. And he takes me to the places where the people are. So if we look at these scriptures here and we think about eyes wide open for unintended targets, well, Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. I'm sure their mission wasn't about this man who was laid at the gate of the temple, and that wasn't their initial thought. Their initial thought wasn't, "Oh, there's going to be a man here, let's bring some money so we can give to him, and, you know, I'm planning on this happening." No, their thought was, you know, "We're going to the temple at this hour of prayer, we're going to take care of our business that God has for us there," and yet God interjects their path with this man. That it was unintended for them to see, maybe in their thoughts, but God wanted that person in their path. And what happens is, for us to get to these unintended targets, we have to get out where the people are.
Yeah.
Amen? We have to get out where the people are. I like to walk. I walk in the Philippines. I walk around everywhere that I go. Why? Because I just want to see people, how they are. I don't want to see how they're living. And when I walk, it breaks my heart. I see them and I see how they interact with their families. And I just like being around people. I take that time to study when the people aren't always out, and I prepare myself and I ask God to prepare my heart, and then I go out and I say, God, show me, this is my plan, this is what I'd like to do, but God, before that, I want you to show me where you want me to go today. And so we have to get out where the people are. If you like drinking coffee, get out to Starbucks and sit down there and read your Bible, all right? Can I tell you, my brother is running away from God, and he's in Kalispell, Montana, and he is running from God. And God brought someone there in a Starbucks coffee shop that was reading his Bible there, and he's a pastor at the church, Grace Baptist Church there. And my brother was moved in his heart, and really was convicted in his heart to come back to him because this pastor was there studying. And he's coming to church there now. Why? Because the pastor decided, well, I could study in my office. There's not as many distractions, but I'm going to go out here. And he was there, and he was able to, really help my brother have his joy restored and his fellowship with God. And he's come back to church because he was out there among the people. Amen? He was out there among the people. And so this is what Peter and this is what John were doing. They were to go find their unintended targets. They were going out where the people were. We got to go. If you don't have anything to do, take the ferry to Seattle and go over there and just meet people, all right? Slow down and just consider people the mission that God has put in your hearts, not just all the tasks. Can I tell you, I can't remember, and I asked my father-in-law this. I said, can you remember the last day where you went to sleep and you didn't have something to do tomorrow? Can you remember that? Pastor, can you remember the last time that you went to sleep and there wasn't something that you should get done tomorrow? You know, as far as taking care of your family, taking care of this and taking care of that and taking care of this. There's a lot of great things that we can do in our lives. But I know for a fact that God will bring people in our lives that He wants us to touch. I know that. There are too many instances where people have gone from other sides of the country and we've met together. And I'm like, wow, thank you, God, that I listened to you. I shared that testimony Wednesday, how when I went to that village and we got out among the people and we saw the man that had fallen on his motorcycle and he was sitting on the side of the mountain. And because I started the day off and I wasn't looking at the world through the eyes of Christ. I wasn't. I started the day off, I was having a argument with my wife, and I shared that with you guys, and then I decided with my family, let's pray, and let's have this vision for people that we wouldn't see before. And we saw this man who was stopped, and he had fallen on his motorcycle, and he was skinned up, and we used this medical training, and I helped fix his legs, and then we led him to Christ. Amen? And then, because of that, not only was, you know, my goal was to go evangelize these people. Well, he brought me to 300 people that were waiting for a funeral. They were all gathered together and they were hurting and they wanted to hear. And I was just going to go to a few people that I had thought in my mind scheduled out. And God says, whoa, wait a minute.
Yes.
You're here. He says, wait a minute. I know you have this plan. I know Mike wants her. You're going to hike through the woods and you're going to go be a heroic man and you're going to go find this one person who was a man that had gotten out of jail. And I thought, we're going to go find him and we're going to find his tribe and we're going to do this. And God says, whoa, this is the people I have for you today. And when we went there, all the people heard. Over 300 people heard and many received Christ because we stopped at the unintended target. Okay? So get out where the people are. That's what Peter and John did. Number two, give them what they need. Give them what they need. All right. The Bible says in verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, and John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. When God brings to someone in our path and they're expecting to receive something. You say, I have nothing to give. Well, we have Christ. We have everything to give.
Yes.
Amen? And in verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so think about it, you know, just practically, God's going to bring people in our lives. It might be a homeless man that's sitting on the side of the street, okay? And you say, I'm not giving money to them because they'll go spend it on alcohol and drugs. Well, maybe. But what about saying, hey, there's Starbucks close by. Man, you know, it stirs inside of you and we're like, oh, we should do something. It's going to take time and I have to go here. And why don't we just stop? And why don't we just say, hey, come get some coffee with me. Let's just talk. Tell me about your family. Tell me how you grew up. Let's just talk, you know, and build a relationship with that person and give them what they need. Amen. Give them the gospel. Show them real love that they've probably never seen before. Give them what they need. That's what Peter and John did. They said, oh, I don't have silver. I don't have gold, but God's given me this. So the thing that God has given me, I'm going to send it back out to you. The things that God gives us, you're gifted with music. I talked with somebody yesterday. You can sing a song. Then sing songs everywhere you go. And say, hey, someone here's that. I'd like to teach you this song. Okay? When God gives us something, don't hold that in. Just let it flow back out.
Yes.
Give the people, be around people, give them what they need. And then, you know, finally, when we do these things, God, He will work in unimaginable avenues. I could tell you story after story, testimony after testimony of, and there's testimony after testimony in this church right now of this very same concept. And so here's my question is that when, if that's happened to you, will you just hold that in, or will you decide, I'm going to look for these people who we might pass by, or I'm going to look for other ways that God might use me, and I'm going to expand my horizons to unintended places and allow God to do something that people say, I don't get that. You know, when Peter and John, after Peter had healed this man, he had an opportunity to speak, and he had an opportunity, everybody came. In that temple. Everyone came in the area. So by one man being healed, all right, by one man being healed, he gathered all the people. And then after that one man who would, is giving glory to Christ, gathered all the people, then Peter was able to preach. And then people saw that said, this is a fisherman. This is an unlearned man. How does he speak with such boldness? How does he speak with authority? Well, oh, it has to be the Holy Spirit of God. It has to be God that's done these things. Amen. But Peter didn't go around there and say, you know, I was once a fisherman and you need to listen to me because I have the greatest message in the world. No, he stopped and he says, there's a blind man, here's a man that needs God. And so he was a lame man and I'm going to help him walk. And then God used that lame man who was uncomfortable for people to talk to, who people thought he committed sin, who people thought God can't do anything with that person. He's paid for his mistakes, and God used that person to gather all the people for them to preach to. Yeah, that's what he wants to do in our lives. Amen. And I've learned that if I can be faithful to God, and if I could ask Him to show me these things, then He will humble me and He will receive glory.
Yes.
So as we close, as we think about these unintended targets, I've given you testimony. I've showed you how I was an unintended target. And man, it's by the grace of God that I'm standing here. If it wasn't here, I'd be on the streets. I'd be still sleeping under the Burnside Bridge, or I'd be in, the Oregon State Pen right now. But I'm not. I'm here. And I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll be in the Philippines later on. And I have a family that I could teach. And it's our family's business. Our family's, not just Mike Wanchers, it's our family's business to find what God wants us to do every day. Missions is our family business. So, who is God placed in your heart that's an, you know, or around you that's an unintended target? Or not just who, but what adjustments are you willing to make for God to show you those things? You know, not just who's there right now, but what can we clear off our schedule? What can we change so we can say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Just show me and I'll go do it. All right. And hey, do you know the best way to find out where those people are? It's just go get around people. Amen. That's what we said. Just go get around people. Allow God to show His glory through seeing the world through His eyes. And I want to say this, do not miserably continue doing what you've always done and what you've always planned just because something else is uncomfortable. Okay? I can say this as we close. As we pray for God to open unintended targets in our lives, there will be changes in our lives. There will be changes. And can I tell you, the only person who likes change normally is a baby with a dirty diaper. It's true. That's the only person who likes change. They really like it, okay? Except for the mom and dad, okay? So God's going to change things. He's going to shake up our beliefs. He's going to say, oh, this was your way of thinking before? Well, I want to reveal something amazing to you. And it's exciting when that happens. Amen? It's exciting when, you know, I went to the Philippines and, you know, this is, I wanted to preach to people and I had it all planned out. It's exciting when God drops an idea in my life that says, anywhere you go, police stations, public schools, universities, through that ID, you can preach the gospel to everyone. That's not my power. That's what God did.
Yes.
Amen. So God, He's going to make changes. Well, because of that, I have a greater accountability because everywhere I go, people know that. And so they know, ooh, well, we're going to watch Mike Wanzer. Michael Wanzer I need to watch what I do, and I'm going to have greater responsibility, greater accountability. Amen. Open our eyes to unintended targets. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and God, I love You. And Lord, I pray that as I shared my heart, what I've shared, just praying for us to be open to the leading of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we think about all the people that have been touched throughout history through people just stopping and taking that time and really getting out of their comfort zone. And God, I pray You touch our hearts to do that. We've learned that missions is local. So as we look for these unintended targets, they're not on the other side of the world.
Yes.
They're not in Ethiopia, God. They're not in Cambodia. They're not in some far off land. They're right here around us. So God, it's not a question of us stepping. It's really a question of us, are we going to obey You or not? So, Father, pray as we get ready to eat and we're having the rest of the sessions, pray You continue to work in our hearts. In Christ's name we ask You. Amen.